Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Because I'm cooler than a polar bear's toenails. Oh, yeah. High noon in the District of Columbia. Fired up to get on the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Talk to our friend, Mr. Santana Moss, fresh off the big win in L.A. Tana Man, what's up, dude?
You rested, bro?
I'm actually about to get on the bike, tell you the truth. That little nap, I had to get up from it because I'd be asleep all day. It was good, though, Charlie.
Tell him, man.
Tana, what was the Quan Martin fumble yesterday? The fumble, the forced fumble, rather. Really a turning point in that game. How much do you think that play shifted the momentum towards Washington? And how much could that singular play kind of impact more than just that game, like the season?
I mean, you said it yourself. I mean, it definitely changed the momentum. I think if you look at that particular drive, they was driving and they was already up 10-0. So if they drive and score either 3 or 7 from that drive, we definitely in a hole. You know, we was already in a hole being down 10-0. So I think that fumble was huge, man. And you always hear them talking about ball is life, and that shows you right there that ball was actually really life, you know, because we got that ball from there, and things just changed. And one of the things about being on the road, man, you want to win the turnover battle, but you also want to stay ahead of the chains. And you want to stay ahead of the chains and win the turnover battle wherever you're at, home or on the road. But it's more, you know, it's a conscious effort you have to, you know, think about when you're on the road, especially on the road, because you don't want to be in someone's backyard and losing in both of those categories. So I was pleased to see that we stayed ahead of the chains. We looked like our old self offensively last night more than we have looked so far this year.
And Bill began to get the ball a lot, and then that helped him stay ahead of the chains. And, you know, you mentioned that he has looked like a young Edgerrin James with that little stutter step he has, then he's outside. Yeah. What was your impression of him?
No, so I was listening to you guys earlier talking about somebody took him off their fantasy. He's been on my fantasy since week one, and I ain't taking him off. But
I love that.
I think it was phenomenal, man, just to see him get those touches. We've been wondering, actually, to see, you know, how they're going to do things when it comes to, you know, spreading these carries out with, you know, Bill, Rodriguez, and Matt Nichols. And you know what? I don't have no questions no more. I'm going to let them do what they do because it seems to be working fine, man. Whoever back there has done the job, but Bill just has something about him, the way he runs the ball, man, that just jumps off the charts. And I want to see him continue to grow. I know he's young, so a lot of those things that people are talking about when it comes to the, you know, the passing game, him being able to know how to, you know, pick up those blocks in those situations and stuff like that, he's only going to get better. He's young, man, and he didn't play a whole season of football last year. So, but I think that's one of those games that I would want to see from him, because just like I talked about Luke earlier this year, you know, with his confidence, Bill's going to have the same thing happen to him, man. His confidence is going to go through the roof, and we could probably lean on him a little more.
You were saying that was Ed McCaffrey's son, and Nikki Javala posted something today. It's a play Ed had. Looks exactly like that play yesterday.
I told you, man, put some more respect, man. They be talking about Chris this, Christian this, man. But both of them came from him. You know what I'm saying? Christian and Luke came from Ed, man. Y'all get it right, man. Because, you know, I grew up watching Ed, and I don't like – a lot of people don't give this man no credit, but I watched him in San Fran. I was a 49er fan, and I watched him over there in Denver with Mike Shanahan, the man. He was a phenomenal wide receiver, hell of a football player. So I'm loving it, man, because, you know, that's any guy who has a son dream to see his son be able to follow in his footsteps and kind of, you know, be on that stage and make some of those plays. So I know those guys, man, look forward to Sunday seeing both of their sons out there doing their thing.
And, I mean, can you imagine how cool that is to think about this week for the McCaffrey family? They got to watch Christian Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Then you get to watch Luke Sunday. That's pretty special. You know, I think Luke is really starting to show why they drafted him. Three straight games with three big plays, two touchdowns in a row, and then the 50-yarder yesterday. Tana, I thought the throw from Jaden was excellent, but Luke's concentration to bring that ball in was, I mean, as a receiver, when you're trying to locate that thing while you're running full speed away from that thing, how difficult is that? What was that degree of difficulty to you?
You be so locked in, man, you don't even think about how difficult it is. It looks difficult to the person with the naked eye who's watching from the stands or watching on TV, but as a receiver, you relish in those moments. You want those moments because you understand, like, all I got to do is catch this ball. I can feel the guy behind me. I can see his hand coming up, but all I have to do is concentrate and make sure I put my eyes all the way on this ball to my hands. And I was watching that play, and, you know, you always look to see if the ball came out because you never know. Mm-hmm. Because once it kind of touched his hands, I'm waiting for him to roll over and the ball be laying there. And I'm like, I know he didn't just catch this. And I was ecstatic for him, man, because those are the kind of plays that can change your life in this league forever. You know, I know he got touchdowns already this year. I know he ran some kickoffs, you know, dumped some big kickoffs. But, man, plays like that, it changed your mind forever. And I remember Wayne Corbett telling me my second year in the league, it was my second year playing. I made a catch over the middle against New England Patriots, and Rodney Harrison hit me dead in my face. And I got up, I caught the ball, and Wayne Corbett, when I came to the sideline, Wayne Corbett shook my hand and said, congratulations, you're going to have 1,000 yards this year. Because that play right there solidified that I can play on this level, and I'm not scared to go out there and make those kind of plays. So I'm looking forward to Luke, man, to really, you know, light it up every chance he's getting out there.
Absolutely. we'll switch sides of the ball here in a second, but another receiver I got to ask you about. We're talking with our friend Santana Moss. Washington Ring of Fame. You could give him a follow on Instagram at 8 to the 9. Tana joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. For everything that was said and questioned about Deebo Samuel, he has been an absolute stud since he's arrived. You played that position at a really high level. What impresses you most about Deebo?
Just being Deebo, you know, I didn't have no questions about him. I understand the woes we go through as a receiver, as a football player, period. You know, D could tell you, you know, every year is not going to look like the same. And we go through ups and downs. We go through things in our life that sometimes affect our, you know, our occupation or sometimes affect our play on the field. But that's just life. You got to deal with it. You got to roll with the punches. And I saw a guy who dealt with some stuff last year in San Fran and got a chance to get away from it, you know, got a chance to say, all right, if y'all don't think I'm still the same dude, let me go over here and show these guys I can. And I remember being in that moment, you know, having one of those opportunities too when I was in New York. But I think my situation was a lot different because I was kind of just getting into myself when I left New York. You know, I hadn't played my best yet. And so, but just seeing him over here doing some of the things I saw before, you know, I mentioned last night on our post-game show, I couldn't imagine our team right now not having Terry, you know, and then relying on everybody else and not having a guy like Deebo on our, you know, on our roster. I think Deebo has done a tremendous job, man, and I don't expect nothing less from him, man. He's just one of those kind of players. Hide your chains when you're on the field and you see Deebo. He's one of those guys.
You know, you can see why he got the nickname.
Oh, yeah, and you flip it over, man, like Doris Armstrong, and hell, you talk about Von Miller, who plays a small percentage of the plays, but he got 3 sacks already.
Yeah.
5 games.
Yeah, Von Miller is one. He's in one of those roles where I felt like the Shanahan's put me in 2012, which it was like I was coming in basically to make a play on that down, on third down, when I was playing a slot receiver in 2012. I literally was coming in because it's going to be my time to make a play. And that's what I look at, with, you know, seeing Vaughn come out there. He comes out there on those dimes. Well, those downs when we say we need you to put pressure on the quarterback and some kind of way get that ball back or get a sack. And, you know, you relish in those moments as a veteran who knows so much about this game. Like, I felt like that's why you need veterans on your team. I hear a lot of people harping about guys being too old. If you understood how slow this game gets for us when we get older, B, this is another question you can ask B.
Oh, yeah.
This game is so slow. You're sitting there like you can just see everything, you know, because we've seen it all. You went through those growing pains as a young buck in the league and learned so much from the guys in front of you, and now it's your time to do that. And so I can just imagine what Vaughn sees, man, being on the sideline and just knowing when it's time to get in there, man. He's like one of those guys, man. He's like one of those designated hitters. Okay, it's my time. I'm going to knock it out the park. And that's what I see when I see him step in the game. I know he's chopping up the bits to go out there and get after that quarterback.
One of my favorite parts of that 2012 season, and there was a lot. That was a crazy year. Robert obviously was a rocket ship. But Santana, in a limited role, catching 8 touchdowns that season. Yeah. That'll always stick with me, man.
Because he knows how to play.
Yeah.
You know? The thing that people don't get, Tanner, the older player don't have all those wasted moments and wasted plays. Young players do because they still learn it. Older player knows. They know exactly what to do to make the play.
We know our days are numbered. And, you know, when I got into that situation, I didn't think my days was numbered at that time. And I know the coaching staff had told me, like, they just saw that they can get more out of me if I play less. And I'm like, coach, if this the way we're going to win, then I'm going with what you say. And lo and behold, man, it was just like one of those things. I would never imagine me having the role that I had. And at one point in time, remember, Pierre got hurt that year early in the season.
Yep.
And Mike told me, no, I'm not going to move you back outside. I'm going to leave you inside. Let these young guys, you know, go out there and earn their keep. And, man, that's why I say I thank the world of the Shanahans, man, because you look at all the coaches now, the young coaches that was under them, who are head coaches now, they really knew how to coach the game of football, and they really knew how to develop guys. And that's why, you know, Mike is looked at the way he's looked at for being a Super Bowl, you know, winning head coach, and you see his son, Cal, trying to follow in those footsteps.
Tana, I just did the math. It's always dangerous for me to start doing math.
Yeah, because you're horrible at it.
But hold on, listen to this. That 2012 season, every fifth catch you had was a touchdown.
Woo.
Eight touchdowns on 41 receptions.
Damn.
Damn.
Wow.
That's crazy, dude. All right.
Because he knows how to play the position.
So, specific to yesterday's game, we could talk about Bill and Debo and Luke. I thought Kinlaw and Payne were really good. Dorrance Armstrong is a relatively quiet dude having a monster season. He already has 5 sacks on the year,
yes,
I believe.
Yes.
But for me, Jaden, coming back, I was equally impressed by how you said it earlier. Like, after the fumble, we saw the offense we expected to see, where they have these nice long drives, they get the tempo they want. It's very controlled. It's very poised. I also thought Jaden did an excellent job of protecting himself in that game. You saw him slide. Yeah. You saw him kind of give himself up, go down. What can you say about the maturity of Jaden Daniels in what had to be a super emotional day, being back in Southern California with a ton of friends and family?
Oh, he had a ton of family there.
Yeah, I think he actually showed us. We all saw it in real time, you know, yesterday. That was my first time seeing him play like that. And you knew he was making a conscious effort not to do too much. And that's what you want from your quarterback. Man, we know how dynamic you are. And trust me, those teams respectfully have to respect him, knowing that how, you know, he can beat them with his legs. And that's what I saw, too. Defensively, those guys say, if you watch the tape like we did, you know, leading up to that game, at times they got to the quarterback before. And at times, they sent a blitz in there, and they would get to, you know, the opposing team quarterback. But for some odd reason, at home, you know, against the Jaden Daniels, who just coming off a knee and hasn't played in 2 weeks, they didn't want to try him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you have. That's the element that we have when you have a Jaden Daniels in your, you know, your backfield as your quarterback leading the offense. Teams are going to view him differently, and they're going to send different packages knowing that he can allow this guy to get upfield and use his legs. So I saw that immediately out the gate that they wasn't going to try to, you know, blitz him because they didn't want to get gashed, you know, by a guy with his legs. And then after that first hit or two, Jaden was Jaden. When he changed his shoes, I said, uh-oh. He knows something. He feels something. And from there, you saw the guy, man. But what impressed me the most about him yesterday, that was the first game. And although he's been out for 2 weeks, but that was the first game Jaden threw the ball all over the field like he did last year. Like, you know, we hadn't seen that as much in the other two games that he played in. But that game there, man, he was dealing them. He was throwing them up there, and those guys were going and snagging them.
And like you said yesterday, it was coming off of their hand rather fast, dog.
Well,
yep. He had a little extra zip yesterday, though.
Totally. I mean, Jaden completed passes to 7 different receivers.
Wow.
And there were 9 receivers targeted. So, like, to your point, Tanner, like, it's moving around. It's going to lots of different people. It's going intermediate. It's going deep. It's going short. Like, he must be a nightmare to try to defend.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why it's not outside of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm guessing this happened early in your career, Santana, because you're drafted by the Jets and the Dolphins are a division opponent.
Yep.
What is it like that first time you go back home as a pro?
Oh, man, my first time was miserable because my first time was my first year, and I literally hadn't played a game in the NFL yet. My leg was put up the whole from preseason. I tore my lateral meniscus. And right before the first preseason game, and I got it repaired, and they told me it's going to take me 3 months to repair it. So I didn't even expect to play that year. And so when I started getting healthy, they was like, all right, we're going to make your debut against Miami. I'm like, what? Debut? I'm not even ready to play yet, you know? So the guy who I was going into that game, I really didn't want to play, to tell you the truth, man. And it's crazy because I actually played in that game. I was nowhere near myself. They tried to make me do so much, and I'm like, man, I could barely stand on this leg. And the next week, I tore my quad. So that just goes to show you, man, how you got to let a guy, you know, one of the things I learned about the NFL, man, they want it now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you look like you're ready, don't get out there if you're not ready. That's why I always respect guys when they don't come to work. Nah, he ain't coming to work. He ain't coming to work for a reason. If he say he's injured or he's hurt, let that guy rest because they want it. If you're on that field, they want what you got. And I learned it the hard way, but at the same time, it was a valuable lesson because not saying that I wanted to be out there, they just saw me back out that doggone brace, and they thought I was ready to go. And lo and behold, I ended up tearing my quad, and I still had to play those next 4 games because now in my head, I'm not going to sit down again saying I'm injured. See what I'm saying? I'm like,
yeah.
Screw this. I'm going to play with that quad. But get back into your answer. I mean, get back to your question. You know, when you're healthy and you can, like, hey, I can go out there and do what I want to do. After that, every time I got a chance to play home, play against my team that I basically grew up watching or play in front of my home crowd, man, I always look forward to it, man, because you just know you're going to have your fans there. You're going to have your family and friends there. And it's one of those moments, man. It's almost like a primetime game, even if it's not a primetime game.
Everyone's like, Terry has a quad injury. You say you tore your quad. What goes into that, and how do you come back from it? Like, you know, I know if somebody he didn't have to get surgery, but you don't want to rip it either. So how long it takes to get back and be healthy?
Man, those things are tricky because, you know, I feel like I tore my hamstring almost every year, and you know, if you have the right kind of doctor, you know, on your staff that can take care of that, man, you can get back quick. But that quad is like, man, I felt like my quad was worse because it felt like every time I took a step, it was like a biting feeling. Like, it hit me. Like, and, man, you don't know how I feel, man, to be 21 years old trying to hide a quad injury, but telling them at the same time I need to get treatment for it. And so I could just imagine anybody going through anything like that. But that's what people fail to realize. When you're sitting home on your couch and you're worrying about a guy and talking about what he got going on, trust me, a lot of us go out there and play through some of those pains and you just don't know. But at the same time, I feel like there's guys that's wired like me and B and a Gary Clark that say, look, man, regardless if I'm 50-60%, that's still better than your guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go out there and give you what I have. But there are certain guys, because you saw Terry do that last year. You know, that's certain guys that if it's hurting to the point where I can't even be 50% of myself or either 75%, I'm not going to go out there and chance it. So, you know, I respect a guy like Terry just knowing what he's meant to this team for so long. And, you know, I see a lot of – and I hear a lot of people giving him so much flack for the holdout situation and all that, man. But we know the game. We understand that, yes, he wasn't going to be ready to go out the gate because he wasn't out there with his guys. But don't put that on him and say this is that and that is this. You know, allow him to go through what he's going through. And trust me, you know, Terry is Terry. He's going to give you what he got when you're ready to go. So I'm going to be ready for him when he's ready to go.
Absolutely. Tanner, thank you for making time. I know you didn't get much rest. These red eyes are tough.
Always, man. Y'all boys be easy.
All right, bro. Take care, man.
The great Santana Moss. Give him a follow on Instagram at 82-9. I always enjoy talking to Santana.
Oh, yeah.
Just one calm, cool dude with a great perspective. We're going to keep these phone lines going. Jeff Song at 12:45. Lorenzo Neal joins us at 1 o'clock.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.